Writer Alice McDermott won the National Book Award in 1998 for her novel Charming Billy. McDermott has just brought out a new novel called After This, and book critic Maureen Corrigan says that it's a stunner.
Critics have genuflected before Alice McDermott by likening her to James Joyce. Both writers take up Irish Catholics as their subjects, even if McDermott's are a generation or two removed from the old sod. And both writers are poets who share a particular genius for evoking mood and worldview in a few quick strokes. Apt as that comparison is, however, there are ones closer to home that make just as much sense, to American masters of people and place like William Faulkner and Philip Roth. McDermott's latest novel, called After This, particularly brings to mind an Irish Catholic version of Roth's epic of the 1960s, American Pastoral. The self-deprecating humor, the guilt, the earnest struggle to stake out their peaceful slice of suburbia on the edges of a roiling New York City. Roth's New Jersey Jews and McDermott's Long Island Irish Catholics have a lot in common. But enough with comparisons to the big boys of literature. For in After This, an astonishing novel, McDermott takes off the ladylike white gloves and demonstrates that she's no longer acting like a nice Irish Catholic girl who's going to be flattered by inclusion with the towering likes of Joyce, Faulkner, or Roth. Instead, she's giving these guys a real run for their money. The difference between After This and McDermott's earlier books is not a matter of literary quality. McDermott has always been a breathtaking, lyrical writer, but of ambition. In this novel, McDermott tackles recent American history and indirectly gives pronouncements on sweeping social changes that rip through even small lives. The small lives under scrutiny here are those of the Keene family, John and Mary and their four children, who live in a tightly knit Catholic neighborhood on Long Island. Without melodrama, McDermott depicts the ruptures in the Keene's coherent lives caused first by the memories of the Depression and World War II, and then in dizzying succession, Vatican Council II, the Vietnam War, the Second Women's Movement and the legalization of abortion, urban decay, and even globalization. McDermott doesn't plod through these events. Rather, she invokes them in chapters that could almost stand as individual short stories because of their intensity and quick dramatic turns. With wry humor, McDermott plants a metaphor for the ultimate transformation these historical events and social changes will wreak on the Keene family. Midway through the book, she describes a fundraising effort to build a new church for St. Gabriel's Parish. Replacing the dark, incense-filled church will be a futuristic structure informed by the democratic impulses of Vatican II, a church in the round, like a spaceship. For better and for worse, that's what the 60s do to the Keene family and their friends. Loosen the ties to their faith-bound lives, send them hurtling, weightless, into space. What keeps us readers tethered to the story is McDermott's great gift for evoking ordinary working people whose reticent demeanors cloak thoughtful and sometimes tortured inner lives. Mary Keene, a single woman of 30 when the novel begins a few years after World War II, has a girlfriend in her office typing pool named Pauline. Pauline is fated to be the spinster honorary aunt to the family Mary goes on to have, and in a phrase, McDermott captures a whole personality type when she remarks about Pauline that she was self-effacing, but that she also wanted the attention such generous self-effacement surely earned her. Similarly, McDermott summons up a lost world of manners when she depicts how Mary, gasping in the throes of premature childbirth on her living room couch, turns her head to greet an unexpected visitor stepping through the front door. "It was simply what you did," writes McDermott. "You made conversation in elevators, complimented small children in strollers, looked up from your magazine to greet the stranger who took the seat beside you on a bus. You said with simple friendliness, 'That's a lovely hat,' or 'Isn't it cold?' because it was another way of saying, 'Here we are, all of us, more or less in the same boat.' It was the habit of friendliness, a lifetime of it." I wish I could quote this whole novel to have the pleasure of immediately rereading it again, especially to catch the foreshadowing remarks and images I surely missed the first time around. After This begins with a doozy of such a foreshadowing scene. The 30-year-old Mary Keene in church on her lunch hour, despairing of finding a husband, praying to God to at least grant her contentment. That seems at first like a humble prayer a good Catholic would utter, but by the end of this splendid novel about the world turned upside down, it seems like way too much to ever have asked for.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed After This by Alice McDermott.